welcome to this week's edition of the Marlena program. This is the program for the week of July 23rd. Well, we intend to have a guest tonight, but technology is actually even getting the best of Gary the Board Guy. So we're going to try a few things, and we cannot seem to make our telephone call across the pond over to the UK. But Gary is going to keep trying, and until then, we will open the lines at 866-666-7926. The topic tonight is going to be, we hope, reincarnation. And our guest is slated to be Paul Nugent. Some of you might recall that Paul joined us, a few months ago, and it was a great success for the show. We had a lot of calls, and so we're hoping that we're going to be able to. Our VOIP line doesn't seem to be working the way it's supposed to work, and neither does our regular old icky expensive landline. But Gary's going to try to reach Paul on the landline, continue to try that way to let him know that we're having some issues, because it's 1 o'clock in the morning where Paul is, and he's up waiting for us to call. And one of you have just called, so let's answer the phone. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Well, it's Debbie Hazelton. I think I've been here before.
I think you have. Boy, you're rescuing me. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes. Reincarnation. Wow. Well, I hope it's not a karmic problem with disconnecting or something.
Oh, now stop it. Oh, my gosh. It's so frustrating because we can't get through on either line. And this poor guy, It's 1 o'clock in the morning over there.
Oh, man.
And, you know, I could send him an email, but first of all, that's on the other computer, so I'd have to say, excuse me, folks, I'm going to leave here while I go send an email. And I feel terrible, but hey, what can we do?
Isn't working as far as connecting by phone, huh?
No, I certainly hope he's getting the feeling that we've had an issue.
Does he have Skype?
He might, but I can't use it. I can't use it while I'm on the air. So, there you go.
Strange.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's very weird.
He just needs to disapparate. I've been reading Harry Potter all weekend. He needs to, you know, work out a spell. I mean, you know, or you do.
Did you get the Braille version of Harry Potter?
I got it from Bookshare.
Oh, from Bookshare.
I had it in my Braille note, and I had it in K1000, and I was going between the two.
Yeah. You know, I've never been a big Harry Potter fan. Isn't that awful?
What's wrong with me? Well, I don't know. Maybe you didn't have a connection with him in another life.
I guess not.
I love Harry Potter books. Oh, my God. This was just phenomenal. And, you know,
Now, I understand this is the last book.
Yeah. I'm so thankful that she left us. If she's not going to do any more, I'm thankful the way she left us, you know, on a wonderful note, many wonderful notes.
Do you really think it's the last one?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that she will probably figure out something else to do, and, you know, I don't know. Maybe she'll find some way to weave somebody in there that will be kind of like somebody saying, hi there, you know, but I think I can imagine that she's ready to end it in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, it really took over her life, and she said she might even have to use a pseudonym.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Well, now if I read this last book, do I have to have read the other books in order to enjoy the last book?
I think it's better. I think I would not.
I mean, I'm feeling left out. See, I'm feeling, you know. Like,
maybe there, you know, maybe there's some way of finding synopsises or something. But I mean, I think they're beautiful to read. I mean, even the first one, it's just, you know.
I did start the first one, actually, and I got, you know, I don't know, maybe a quarter of the way through it, and then I thought, this isn't holding my interest. It's just, I know I'm the only one in the world, I think, that doesn't like Harry Potter.
No, you're not. No. Gail Kress wasn't a big Harry Potter fan.
Really? Oh, well, then
no.
I have good company.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know other people that haven't read them at all, you know. I mean, I was so surprised if I talked to anybody yesterday who wasn't reading Harry Potter. It was kind of like, what? I mean, it's like an international holiday. What do you mean you're not reading Harry Potter? It just seems like so much of the world was.
That's funny. I wonder if the Bookshare site slowed down from people downloading Harry Potter.
I don't know, but I'm going to write them a thank you note. I mean, what a labor of love for them to do that.
Yeah.
They didn't even have an advanced copy. They really, you know, waited until it was released, and they're in a different time zone than I am, so it wasn't even as early, you know, for them as it would have been for me. They were like, I don't know, an hour or two behind. I don't even remember where they are.
They're in my time zone, so we're three hours behind.
3 hours behind. So they waited till midnight. And they got their copy, and then they stayed up all night. And by the morning when I got up, it was there.
Yeah, it was a team of people, as I understand it, who was working on it.
That's incredible. Yeah. I figured it had to have been. Maybe they just started with different sections and then pasted it together. But
yeah.
So what a wonderful convention you had. I felt like I missed one of the best ones.
Well, I thought it was a good one for lots of reasons.
And I cried twice. I heard you. I went back and heard you win twice, and I cried both times.
Well,
I was
just blown away. It meant so much to me to win that election, and you know, people are going to see minutes up really fast, faster than you might think.
Many emotions of different people crying over, you know, just being thankful for one thing or another. Of course, there were probably some tears of people that weren't so happy, but for the most part, I noticed that on different days, different people that were very touched by awards and things, and I thought, you know, there is a lot of love in ACB. I mean, there's a lot of people who focus on how much tension and negativity and, you know, it's too bad some of the things that have happened, but, you know, even, you know, one of the things I thought when I read this book and one of the things I thought when I heard much of the convention is, you know, even if there's fighting that starts at the top and even if it trickles down, you know, throughout the organization, there's just a lot of love.
Yeah, I think there really is. You know, that there's certainly a lot of competitive stuff going on, but I think for the most part, and of course there are exceptions to this as there are exceptions to anything, but I think for the most part, ACB people say, okay, it's the end of the day, we didn't agree, but let's go have dinner, or let's go have a drink, or let's, you know, and that's what I enjoy. I mean, I was sitting at the candidates forum, I was sitting right with Judy Jackson and Lynn Correll, who were my competitors, and,
oh, and
you
I
know,
think they were very happy for you.
And
I got that feeling, yeah.
Well, and you know, I mean, I thought, now I could be all wrong, but I thought we all got on just famously, you know, and so, you know, it wasn't a contest done out of mean-spiritedness or any, you know, I mean.
Well, you know, to me, I mean, if we want to visit the topic that you have for tonight, I mean, I think that's really the goal of living other lives, is to grow in love and to grow in how we can make that love be a part of every experience as much as possible. I often think of love or spiritual practice or, you know, peacefulness being like, okay, first I learned to balance a book on my head, but can I walk and move around and still keep that there? And, you know, I look for the love.
Yeah.
I look for it in more places, and I'm always so happy when I feel it and notice it around me. I mean, it's just, wow. Very, very sweet. That's the best miracle of all, I think.
I agree. Well, Gary has just come in and told me that not only can we not call the UK, but we can't even call the overseas operator to help us call the UK. This is very weird.
And there's no way that he would be listening to know this?
I hope so, but Gary's going to go try to send him an email. But who knows if he's even on his computer, you know. I just feel so badly because it's, you know, the middle of the night there. And, oh, my gosh. I don't know what to do. Paul Nugent, I'm trying to send you some thought waves here.
We're 5 hours ahead of us. It's actually after 2 there.
No, it's after 1 there right now because they move back an hour. So my show starts at 1 and they are at 1 Universal right now as far, I don't know. But I think it's 1. I think it's 1. But I feel so badly.
Yeah.
Oh well. Oh well.
Well,
I guess I'm going to do 2 hours of open forum.
I'm sure people will like that anyway. People are always happy to chat with you. I know I am.
Well, if nobody calls, call me back.
Okay. Well, thanks for your email, and we'll talk soon.
All right, great. You take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye. Well, we are in a pickle tonight. Holy moly, this has never happened. 866-666-7926. Let's pick up the phone. Hi, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, this is Dave. Couple of things.
What?
First of all, if Gary can, I'm happy to try to call this guy in the UK for you and at least get a message to him. I've got a lot of empty space to use on my one suite, and I'd be happy to give that a try if you think that'll work.
Okay.
You know, Gary can give me a call, or I can get him, and
you know what? Let me see if Gary can give you the number off the air.
Okay. Pam has your home. I can also call your home number.
Oh, okay. That'll be good.
Yeah. I think Pam just got it, so I'll call that.
Of course, Gary's not.
And I'll get that from Gary, and we'll see what we can do. Because at the very least, we don't want this poor guy to be waiting up for you.
Oh, that's what's bothering me more than anything.
Yeah.
And of course, Gary's not listening right now because he's out trying to send the guy an email from the kitchen.
Oh, no, I'd be.
Okay. Oh gosh.
But you have what?
Oh, we're fixing.
I know, Pam. I'll get it from you. Just keep it there. Hold on.
We're fixing things as we go, yes.
And a couple of the other things I had, I think I'll cut those short and not deal with them because I want to deal with this issue.
All right, well, you can call me back.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. Now, we're just going to yell something to Gary. Going to go off mic for a second. Okay. Okay, all right, now, I've yelled like a fishwife through the house and told Gary to please answer the phone when it rings, so we'll see what happens. Hi, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Are you on the call?
I'm trying to call.
Okay. You're there, Roger.
Hello.
Hello, Roger.
Hi there.
All my friends are bailing me out tonight. Holy moly.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that, first of all, isn't everybody that's fan of Harry Potter.
Oh,
and secondly, you know, there are even weird people like me who are not into other lives or religion or any of that spooky stuff.
Now wait, you think other lives is spooky?
I do.
Really?
I think that I view the soul or your personality or whatever as being software that runs on the hardware of your brain, and if you want to transfer it to somebody else, you've got to put it on a flash card or something.
Really? Now that's interesting.
And besides that, I'd just like to say that, you know, I want to say that anything that's too popular can't be good. You know, I'm I like the old line from Tom Lehrer, who said, the reason most folk songs are so atrocious is that they were written by the people.
So you think if Harry Potter's so popular, it can't be good?
That's right.
That's interesting.
See, anything that's too popular obviously can't be good. But anyway, I also wanted to mention...
What about chocolate? Chocolate's good.
Yeah. I wanted to mention another person who I think probably had some of the same curmudgeonly ideas that I have, who has apparently left us, a guy named Ralph Sanders.
Yes.
I hope that we'll find out exactly what happened. I hear that, you know, it was like somebody sent the police and they found him in his apartment and so forth.
Wow.
He died, you know, totally alone and everything. So,
you know, and that's the one thing I said to Gary. I said, you know, Ralph and I didn't always agree. And we probably weren't each other's favorite people for many reasons.
Well, a lot of people are saying that.
But I sure hope that he didn't die alone.
You know, he certainly got us some good publicity at some of our conventions.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, I remember when he was president of the NFB, and I remember, and NFB has expunged him from their history. If you read NFB history, you know, Ralph Sanders never existed.
Yes, and he was president for a year, I believe.
I think so. And, you know, I met him, I used to be in the NFB, as you know, and I met him in 1973 at one of our NAC.
You're neck tracking.
Yeah, in Washington, D.C.
So
I just wanted to mention him and to say that, you know, that he's in our minds, and we're hoping that we'll get a proper obituary and all that kind of thing.
I certainly hope so. In memoriam article, maybe
in the forum.
Yeah. You know, I certainly hope so, because he did dedicate a lot of his life and his energy to the blindness movement. And
he did a lot for RSVA. And
exactly.
For people with social security
issues. Exactly.
You know, I had problems with him, too. I mean, who don't I have problems with? You know?
Do you have any problem with me?
I'm kind of a disagreeable guy. No, I don't have any very, very big problems with you.
You're
okay with me.
Oh, phew. Oh, I'm so glad. Now I can sleep well tonight.
Oh, good. So you just keep breathing. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's an
opportune
thing to do. Just keep breathing. Yeah. Well, yeah, that was sad news this week. Let me ask you, maybe you don't have a thought about this, or maybe you do. What do you think about the ADA Restoration Act?
Well,
Should we weigh in on it?
I have pretty good credentials for being cross-disability oriented. I was involved in the coalition back in the 70s, as you may remember.
Yeah, I may remember, yes.
But, you know, I think that some of Chris Gray's concerns and so forth about that some of the things that are wrong are not the things that are being fixed by the current legislation. That, you know, I'm not so sure that we want the Sutton twins whose sight was correctable
in
2020 to be considered disabled.
Yeah.
They were regarded as disabled, and that's covered under the ADA.
Right.
Although we had an ADA seminar in our local chapter, and the person giving it said, yeah, it's in the law, but try getting that part of it enforced.
Right.
So I do have concerns about, I agree that we should be at the table, but you know, I've been at a lot of meetings that were supposed to be accessible that weren't accessible to us. And it's, unfortunate, when we did the coalition back in the 70s, our concept was that big organizations like the National Association of the Deaf, the American Council of the Blind, and so forth would combine. And so that there would be, within the coalition, an organization that knew about each, that was an authority on each disability. Unfortunately, these so-called grassroots cross-disability groups and the Centers for Independent Living, who have a sort of one-size-fits-all view of disability have changed things a lot. And they are a lot of people who, a lot of people now in the field leadership who don't know anything very deep about any individual, any particular disability, least of all blindness.
And, you know, the thing that I've noticed the last time I was in the company of a cross-disability group of folks for any length of time, a seminar, it was really hard for me because the word that was coming out of most of the mouths of people with physical disabilities was, well, we're going to sue them. We're going to sue them. We're going to sue. And it was just like incredibly, and I don't.
Well, that's because they don't have Lainey and Linda.
Well, and you know, that's true. And I don't, but I don't discount that there are times when you may need to sue. I totally don't discount that. But that should be the last remedy, not the second or the third remedy. It should be the last remedy. And I will tell you that I was extremely uncomfortable. I thought, wow, you know, where's the old days of the American Coalition of Citizens with Disabilities and, you know, people like Frank Bowe who really, really were the fathers and mothers of this coalition movement. And I'm thinking, wow, what would they be thinking? Because that was not the direction that they chose unless it was clearly warranted. So,
yep.
Oh well, anyway, time marches on, Raj, and so do we.
I guess so.
Now I'm going to get all these people calling me up and yelling at me and saying that I'm not an activist or something. But, oh. You know, I just...
Well, you figure out how you can put yourself onto a flashcard so you can reincarnate.
Now you stop that. See, I don't agree with you. I totally don't agree with you about that.
Well, you must be wrong then.
No, I think you're wrong. I mean, clearly, how do we know, you know? I mean, you could be right, but I could be right. So you have to leave me some room here. You have to at least acknowledge that you don't know.
Okay.
Oh, goody.
I think I know.
Well, that's we're getting there.
I think that we get turned off when we die.
See, I don't think so. And you know what? Because
it's like you unplug a computer, the program doesn't run anymore.
No, because too many things in my life have happened that really clearly are messages from people whom I loved, who I've lost. And here comes Gary with an update. Yes?
I got a hold of Paul, yeah. Regular line.
Oh, good. Gary got a hold of Paul. Okay, and?
We were missing two digits, but I still can't get that VOIP.
I know, the VOIP isn't working.
So.
Well, you should be able to just get him through the ether, you know.
He didn't hear from me in 3 or 4 minutes, which passed back.
For clairvoyance.
Yes, Roger says we should be able to get him through the ethernet for clairvoyance. Yes. Mm. Well, I'm glad that we got a hold of Paul. I don't feel quite so badly now. Oh, dear. Well, we're going to try to work this out again. We need to report our VOIP line as being down. And Gary, the board guy, is this going to impact the second hour of our show?
Well, good luck, dear.
Well, thank you, Raj.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I don't know if this will impact our second hour or not, but...
Dialing overseas, everything else works,
but we can't dial overseas. So we can dial locally on VOIP?
Well, I can't dial
anywhere. I'm not sure what we can do on VOIP. Oh, you know, live radio, you gotta love it. 866-667-9226. We're kind of in an unexpected open forum situation. What do you think about the ADA Restoration Act? Should we get involved with that? Should ACB get involved with it? And if you think so, why do you feel the way that you feel? And of course, the blind community has lost One of its certainly well-known and often controversial figures, Ralph Sanders, this week. Ralph died in Las Vegas, and Roger just indicated that it's his understanding that Ralph died alone, which is pretty sad. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, it's Michael Malver.
Hi, Michael Malver. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
I'm just calling to let you know that you're not the only not Harry Potter fan out there.
Oh, yay!
It's not that I'm not a Harry Potter fan.
Yes.
It's more that in the early 1990s, I started reading a wonderful series of books called The Wheel of Time.
Oh, I've
and
seen those, yeah.
It's still being written.
Yes.
In fact, unfortunately, the guy has some sort of terminal ailment, and there's some question as to whether he'll finish it. There's another great series I've started reading called The Song of Ice and Fire. It's not supposed to be done until 2011. And so I finally decided, after Harry Potter just kept going and going and going, that I could wait until it was done, and then I would just read all of them.
Ah, now that's a smart thing.
I read the first four, and then I said, you know what, I'm just going to wait for this to be done. Now, I did the same thing with the Left Behind books. I read about six of them, and I was like, you know, this is going to keep going forever and ever and ever, so I'll just wait for these to be done. So I can't wait until I can download them all online and listen to them on the stream. That's my thing now.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool?
That'll be nice. I can't wait. In fact, I would love to know if the NOS cartridges can hold multiple books, because wouldn't it be great if you could just ask for a series and get one cartridge?
Oh, that would be very cool.
You know,
well, but you will be able to go online and just download the series if you want to.
I'm thinking of people who maybe aren't as computer savvy.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. I'm thinking a lot of things. That's one thing I'm thinking. The other thing I'm thinking is with this ADA restoration thing, the argument I hear is, well, we shouldn't open it up because we could lose our rights. But if we use that argument, when should we ever open it up? Should we never open it up?
Well, I think you have to. You see, I'm on that side of the table, and let me explain why I think that. I think before you open any major piece of legislation, you need to take a look at the environment and how in the last, you know, the political environment and how in the last 8 to 10 years your special interest, your needs, your legislation has been treated. And why would you open it up in a more than semi-hostile environment, which I feel that we're in now with ADA? I'm concerned about opening it up. I
got it. So you'd rather potentially lose more rights, knowing that eventually we could open it up in a more politically good time
and
fix it.
To me, I'd rather take that. To me, that feels less risky than opening it up now feels.
Okay. Well, thanks for explaining. That was a piece that I...
And I think I'm in the minority with the membership, but... You know, but I really worry. And when someone with the stature of Dr. Otis Stevens speaks against opening it, I got to really think twice about it, because he is a brilliant scholar and someone who understands this junk a lot better than I do.
Sure.
So I just think we need to be very cautious before we just jump in to be at the table. And we darn well, hopefully, better be sure that if we do appear at the table, that there's something in that for blind folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. I will let another caller call. I hope that if this doesn't work tonight, that you get your reincarnation program on. For what it's worth, I can't believe that the entire universe exists and that we...
Whoops, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that, because my headphone just went out? Oh, no. Now my whole headphones are going out. Oh, Michael, are you there? Oh, no, Michael went out. See? He said he didn't believe that the entire universe existed, and he's gone. Michael, where are you? Okay, well, all right. Let's hang that up and... This, Okay, guys, this is getting very strange. Okay, now we've got the phone back. Michael, feel free to call back and finish that sentence if you like. Ah. Hi, this is Marlena. Who's this?
This is Dave back.
Dave, okay. This is a crazy show.
Are you trying to use Skype to call his man?
No.
Okay.
No, and Gary reached him.
Yeah, I know he reached him, but then I thought, well, maybe on VOIP, you're only supposed to dial the country code and you're supposed to drop the 011. Maybe. I know in Skype when you're calling, making a Skype call.
No, you know what the problem is? None of our digits go through. We just keep getting a dial tone on our VOIP line.
Oh, the VOIP line broke.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, because I got them straight. The digits were all goofed around, and I told them how to dial them properly.
Yeah.
And then, but I thought, well, when you dial on VOIP, you may have to drop the overseas code.
Hang on, I'm getting an update. What's that?
The VOIP is kaput.
Yeah, the VOIP is kaput.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yes.
All right, let me see. What was that? Oh. I have never once read a Harry Potter book. Never, never, never.
Well, I don't. Should I be sorry or should
I? No, I don't think so. I don't think I'm missing anything.
Really? Why do you think that? Everybody else thinks you are. Why do you?
You know, when I read a book, and especially when I read fiction. In fact, I'll amend this. When I read fiction, I like to read realistic fiction.
See, that's my problem.
I don't like to read about dragons and magic.
Yeah.
I like to read things like, well, let me tell you what I just stopped. I just got into a fit of books by a guy, and I'm trying to get more of them, or a few more of them. A couple of Los Angeles writers of the 30s and 40s. One being Ross McDonald.
Yeah.
And another being Raymond Chandler. Now, these guys write detective stories, and they're kind of action-packed, you know.
Yes.
But they're interesting because you read them and you get a sense of what it was like to drive the roads of Los Angeles in 1935, 1945. You get a sense of what Pasadena looked like then. I used to live near there, so, you know, I get, it's a really cool sense, or how it was to make a phone call between Pasadena and the desert, say. These are the senses you get that you don't get, and that's the kind of, when I read fiction, that's what I like to read. So, I don't know, just my own thing. And unfortunately, as Roger indicated to you, by the way, going to a jumping to a totally another, what happened was, well, I first heard, I have to say that, the way the news of Mr. Sanders' death came across, and I never met the man, really, so I can't even say, the way it came across the blindness scoop, I was very, very, very disappointed in our own people. I mean, it was like people started writing, including some of the leaders of the organization or some of the people who wish they were leaders, wrote in, oh, we heard Ralph Sanders is dead, and it was just that kind of a tone.
I was
ashamed. I was absolutely ashamed of ACB when I saw that. And then, you know, it's like, maybe you don't agree with something a man does, but, you know, give a man whatever dignity he didn't have. And apparently the Las Vegas PD did have to break in. That's what I heard. Again, and if that's the case, how sad. But more than that, you know, let's not throw it out to the, like the wolves, you know. It's like, and you know, and I won't mention the people who I, because that would be unfair.
Yeah.
But you know, our organization just did not. I thought, you know, at least we could have the decency, you know, Mitch or Chris, to wait for Mitch or Chris to write a release and be done with it. Otherwise, let it be private. Don't blast this out over the internet, email. And I was very, very saddened at the way. And there are certain people who will absolutely, I guarantee you, never, ever, ever receive a vote for me in ACB because of it.
Well, it was unfortunate. I think a lot of people, well, I think some people who've been posting were just like, well, is it really true? Is it true? Because at first it sort of started out as a rumor, but then Chris did post a very nice post, and I'm suspecting, just trying to get people.
But it didn't get widely, unfortunately. I don't know No, normally it just did not get widely spread for some reason.
Yeah, I know that it was on ACBL, and I know that it was on ACB Leadership.
Yeah.
But see, I think what happens sometimes, and I'm guilty of this. Hang on, I'm getting yelled at by the producer. What's that? Well, that's where I've got Dave.
Okay, I can hang up. I can hang up.
Well, no, let me just finish this thought, and then never mind. That's not where I've got Dave. Oh, I'm so confused.
I have no idea where you have me.
He thinks I have you someplace, but I have you another. No, but anyway, go ahead and do that.
I'm on the telephone in Visalia, California. That's all I know, and I can even tell you what phone number I dialed to get you. But
golly,
go back to the subject.
So I think that now my caller ID is going off because Gary's trying the line. Oh, what a show! I think that what may have happened initially, and note I'm underscoring initially,
right,
is that people didn't see Chris's post, and so they heard this rumor that Ralph had died. And I'll tell you the post that I was really shocked to read was the one that was forwarded from one of the Federation lists. And I don't want to go into it, but boy, oh boy, oh boy. And I don't think that that post was representative of the Federation, but the individual who posted that post.
I do know this, and this kind of feeds into this tonight, what would have been the program. Maybe all of us need to have some kind of something in place so that people know if we go down, if we get sick. I mean,
right,
even a friend of Pam's, in fact, this is the second anniversary, a friend of Pam's very suddenly passed away, and she lay in her apartment for a couple of days without anybody knowing it. And she was not an alone. I mean, she was by her nature, she was kind of a lonesome, by her choice, I should say. But you know, people start all of a sudden she didn't show up for her volunteer assignment, and somebody made a call. You know, maybe it behooves us all to look at this and to say, what do we have anything in place that would for an emergency? What would we do? Who would we call? It's something to think about.
Particularly those folks who live alone.
Well, yeah. And many of us may be alone. So,
that's
right.
Our
partner's pretty,
that's right.
You know, what are we going to, we might, any of us could be alone.
That's exactly right.
In Gail's case, in Pam's friend's case, what happened was they had a weekly call, and everybody thought that was really horrible, but he expected her to call him on Sunday nights, every Sunday night. Well, he didn't call. And she didn't call. And so the following morning, he was on the phone to the condominium manager. And they went up.
Wow. Wow.
And they guesstimated that she went down on Friday sometime. And
wow.
So, I don't know. It gives you pause. It really does.
It really does.
And I think one of the things that we also need to, I know Pam and I work really hard at trying to build a local base, and yes, most of them are sighted. We don't have a lot of, in fact, a lot more sighted friends than blind friends right around here. But, people who know you around, and maybe that's something that we fail to do as blind people. So many times we choose to ostracize ourselves from the world immediately around us.
Well, those are good points. And, that reminds me of something that I've done on my cell phone now. It's not...
Oh, the ice. Yeah.
Yeah, the ice. Yeah. I have ice in case of emergency. And I have two of them. I have ice and ice two. And in the event that Gary is with me, then I have an ice two that doesn't, direct folks to Gary. It directs
right.
them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we should all be doing that, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Did you put an ice on your phone?
I've seen that down the internet a lot, and I really haven't done it.
Yeah, I would. I want you to do it.
Yeah, and I've got numbers. I mean, I could put Pam's in there, put my daughter's in there.
Yeah.
I've got numbers.
Yeah.
All right, well, I better let you go. I'm sure other people will want to get in, or maybe we'll get this guy. And otherwise, you know, maybe you should change your name to Art Bell.
This is Marlena Bell.
Art Bell.
Art Bell.
Yeah, you know, that way we can talk about reincarnation legal, you know. I'll let you go.
Oh, well, I was going to ask you if you believe in reincarnation.
You know, I don't know. And it's interesting to ask because for the last couple of years, so we've been going to a religious congregation called Religious Science as opposed to Christian Science or anything else. And part of Religious Science is that we are all a part of this overarching spirit. We are all a part of it.
Oh, I love it.
As opposed to it being, you know, as opposed to be God up in the sky. We are a part of said God.
I love it.
And that would make reincarnation an appropriate belief because, you know, obviously if you die, you don't just die. You get out of, you know, a worn-out vehicle into something else. We don't know what that something is.
Yeah.
You know, if you ever want to study it, the doctrinaire of it is a fellow by the name of Dr. Ernest Holmes, H-O-L-M-E.
Yes, I've heard of Dr. Ernest Holmes.
He's the one that started all this.
So you don't think like Roger does, that we're little computers, and when we die, our hard drive crashes.
If I'm correct about Roger, and I believe he has stated it, I believe Roger, and I don't understand their belief system entirely. I believe he is a seriously card-carrying atheist, and I believe he's committed to that view. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm talking, and I'm not entirely sure. He'd have to answer that question. I don't know their belief system. I think they essentially believe that we're alive and then we die.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what he said.
And I don't know that it seems like there's got to be more.
Me too. That distresses me. I can't believe that when this body stops working, that's the end.
Yeah, I mean,
I just can't believe
there's more
that.
To the body. You know, it's like, I can only go to, you know, go back to what we've, you know, been talking about the last year or so on our, do you think that, you know, spirit is so small that it's not going to give you another life somewhere? I mean,
who knows?
Because the theory, at least that they go by, is that there is one spirit, one knowledge, one over a, you know, and that we're, and like I said, we're all a part of that. Well, yeah. Transition. That's right. And what we talk about is when a person passes, they're making their transition. I don't think we entirely know what the transition is to, but we do know it's a transition.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, we have a friend in the congregation, and he happens to be a gay guy, and he was saying that. And his friend, he's an older gentleman too. His friend passed away, and they hadn't been together that long. I thought they'd been together for years, but not that long. He says that he still sees his friend in his car every so often.
Well, and you see, that's what I was sort of aiming toward with Roger. I've lost my mom and my dad, and I've lost someone who was very, very dear to me, and then someone who I also loved a lot. And I still see, every once in a while, my mom, I'll hear her laughing I'll just hear her laughing. And then my friend, who was from California, who I lost. In fact, he lived with us the last year of his life. Every once in a while, I smell the cologne that he wore. And, you know, you can't tell me, because I'm not even thinking about these people when this happens.
I have interesting relatives on my mother's side. I have the only one living is actually my Aunt Mary. She happens to have been the eldest of four. My mother was the youngest of four. They died in absolute reverse order to their birth. And my Aunt Mary still says, there was a time when she saw my mother's face in their screen door.
I believe that.
And she tells the same story. Without variation, it doesn't vary one iota. So she believes it, whatever it was, she believes it. And I remember, you know, thinking about I was a kid when she died, and I remember talking to her in my dreams, I thought, and I still talk to my father. My father's been gone for 6 or 7 years. And, so ever so often I'm talking to him in a dream too.
Well,
I don't know. The answer is for me is I'm open to it. I just don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, better let you go. I'm sure there's people just pounding down the line.
No, I hope so.
Or maybe not. Maybe we're the only ones listening.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Wolfman Jack says, bye.
Oh, get out of here. Wolfman Dave. All right. We are behind with our little spots, so we're going to bring them up here and be right back. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM. Okay, we have a caller, I think. Let's see. Hi there. Who's this?
This is Johnny.
Hi, Johnny. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, I wanted to bring up, I think I sent an email on the friends list about it, the Kennedy and Lincoln 100 years apart correlation.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, okay. As you know,
by the way, is this Johnny?
Johnny J.
Ah, Johnny J. I thought that was you.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to my program.
Yeah.
It's great to hear you.
I think I missed the part with the guy talking about the life after death.
No, you didn't. No, our phone system went kafoof, and we couldn't make an overseas call.
Oh, okay.
So I'm gonna have him back on again. But no, you didn't miss it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I got this email from somebody, and then I sent it on the list, and it was just concerning like the parallels between John F. Kennedy and Lincoln's death.
Yes.
That they both I guess went to the Senate. I think in 1840. It was simpler. 1848 or 1849, 1949. They both became presidents in 60. Yeah.
60.
And it was same kind of. They both were interested in civil rights. And then the person that shot both, each guy. They had three names, and the names added up to 15.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that. Ooh.
And the secretary, the one that Lincoln had the last name of Kennedy. The one that Kennedy had the last name of
Lincoln. Yeah, wow.
And then he was shot riding in a Ford, and, of course, Lincoln was in the Ford Theater.
Oh, my gosh.
The murderer ran from the Ford Theater to a theater to hide. Was it a warehouse to hide?
Yeah.
And then the other one ran from the warehouse to a theater to hide.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And then it was a week before Lincoln was shot. He was in Maryland, the state of Maryland. Well, of course, the week before John F. Kennedy was killed, they said that he was with Marilyn Monroe.
Wow.
And then what was it? Was another one? Oh, both presidents. Vice presidents were named Johnson.
Johnson. That's right. I remember that now. That's right.
And let's see. What else? I mean, that was enough.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
So because that was so well documented, because our lives are not as well documented, how do we know that we're not doing something parallel to someone else 100 years ago?
Exactly. And I try to be open to as much thought as I possibly can. And I'm just very open to the possibility that we don't know what happens after we die. No one's come back to tell us. You know?
And then if they did, what would you do with the information?
Well, first of all, we'd probably lock them up. We'd think they were nuts. And so, you know, we'd stick them in an institution, probably, knowing society the way it is. Mm. But, you know, and I often think about, you know, Jesus. If Jesus, I see Jesus as a great teacher. I see Jesus as I don't have all of the, my faith structure is sort of a mix of Eastern and Western, and what feels okay to me, what I can sort of comprehend and understand. And I do believe that Jesus was a remarkable human being and a great teacher. But if he were to come back today, what would we do with him?
And let me tell you something, that no church, I've never heard a preacher ever touch on this, and they won't. Okay, when the scribes and Pharisees asked John the Baptist, are you one of the prophets? And he says, no, I'm not. And then they asked, are you Elijah? And he says, no, I'm not. He didn't say, hey, you guys, there's no such thing as that.
Yeah.
He just said, No, I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I've never heard a sermon on that.
Yeah, interesting. Oh, I'm glad you called. I think we may think similarly in some of these areas. You know, tell folks about your ACB Radio Interactive show.
Well, I do one on Sunday nights, which is like a hard edge Christian contemporary show, which we mix hip hop and Christian contemporary music. And I try to make it different from commercial radios because they won't mix those two genres together. And then I talk about stuff like this.
Stuff like this, yeah.
Yeah,
and very cool. Very
and then
cool.
I do a four-hour show on Fridays, which I play old-school R&B and rock and roll, and I talk about stuff like this.
And you talk about stuff like this.
Yeah.
That's funny. And where are you from, Johnny?
I'm from Denver.
Denver, okay.
And yeah. It was really weird. I was talking to a person I just met today, because my visual impairment was caused by doctors giving me a medication that I was allergic to.
Oh.
And I remember sitting in first grade reading Dick and Jane and all that kind of stuff and thinking, like, life is going to be a piece of cake. And, and you know, I'm thinking this at the age of, like, 6 years old. And then this was thrown in the thing, and it made my life more interesting because everything wasn't coming so easy as it probably would have, because I just think I was just born at another level, because I was watching news. I was watching the 6 o'clock news at the age of 5 and 6 and 7 and not out there playing with the other kids.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And had no one to talk to, because back in those days, parents didn't really talk to kids as if they were human beings. It was
yeah.
Like
yeah, yeah.
So, and I couldn't talk to them about stuff like that to other six-year-olds and seven-year-olds. So I was just this frustrated kid not being able to share this stuff with other people.
Well, you know, I often have said that, in my opinion, my blindness is a gift.
Oh, yeah.
And there are very few blind folks who have agreed with me, and I respect that.
Huh.
That's okay.
Okay.
But my life would not have taken the turns that it has. And yes, sometimes being blind is a real pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the reality of it. But the actuality of it is, if you look at the biggest picture, I wouldn't be doing this. You know,
mm.
I wouldn't have friends around the world because of ACB Radio. I wouldn't be, most likely wouldn't be involved with the finest blindness consumer organization in the world. You know, I wouldn't have been in, I've had the opportunity to be in the pen with the MGM lion and stick my fingers in his mouth and,
wow.
And feel his huge teeth and feel his claws and go all the way down to his tail. I wouldn't have done that if I were sighted.
Hmm.
You know, how many sighted people do you know patted a lion? I don't know too many.
No. Or maybe in the lion's den, but that was under other conditions.
Yeah. Well, I sure am glad you called, and I hope you'll become a regular.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I always listen. I always see your things pop up, and then And then when you talk about stuff like that, I think about that stuff and talk about it, and it blows people's mind. And it's like I want to get their minds to stretch. But
yes.
And I don't know if you feel this way, but sometimes it's so lonely because you can stretch in a certain
yes.
way, but it's hard to find other people
yes.
that can stretch in that same direction.
Yes, yes. And, you know, people are – many of my friends whom I love very dearly are very rooted in their belief system, and that's okay. I totally respect that. But I want people to respect or at least be open to hearing about other systems of belief that may parallel in some instances theirs, but not completely.
Hmm.
Well, all right, sir. Well,
I'm glad that we have this international thing put together where we can converse like this.
Just think, we got to know each other around the world.
Yeah.
You call me anytime, Johnny.
Oh, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What a nice guy. That's actually the first time Johnny and I have had the opportunity to converse directly, one-on-one. Well, there you go. Only on ACB Radio Mainstream. 866-666-7926. We're going to be announcing the winner of the iTalk Microwave Oven coming up very soon. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Ron Milliman.
Nothing to say, just filling time, wrapping a tune round a wasting time rhyme. They asked for a song that was 1 minute long, but try as you may, what can you say as the seconds run past? For seconds don't stroll. You fill up this space and you plug up that hole. You're wasting your time now, you're halfway there. But time's running out and what do they care? There's nothing to say, not a why but a when. There isn't even the time to sing it again. I've nearly made it for hours of toil. Perhaps they could use it for timing a soft boiled man with a watch with his thumb on the top, crossing his throat.
Information on how you can donate to ACB Radio is available at our webpage, www.acbradio.org. And thank you for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. Your listening is our business, and you are listening to ACB Radio Mainstream via the web and at WTND FM Macomb. All right, we've got Dr. Ron on hold here, and we've got a caller on hold, so we're going to grab the caller first. We'll grab you gently, caller, and then we'll bring Dr. Ron in. Hi there, who's this?
Hey, Marlena, I assume you're talking to me. It's Chris Westbrook. I know you've talked to me a number of times before.
Hey, Chris Westbrook, how are you?
Doing pretty good.
Good.
Unfortunately, I have to go back to work tomorrow. I've been a week on vacation, which is nice, but
oh.
I gotta do it all over again. What?
Oh, no, you gotta go. I'm sorry, you gotta go back to work tomorrow?
Yeah, I took a week off. I took a week with my family, so.
Oh.
I gotta go back to the old grind.
Oh, that's a bummer. So what's
on your... I have mixed feelings about it. On the one hand, I don't really want to go back, but on the other hand, I really know I need to go back, and I need to get stuff done, and you know how it is, I'm sure.
I know how it is. How are you doing, by the way? You're somebody that I also want to have as a guest on this program. At least you're in the States, and my VOIP would hopefully work. How are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm still working up in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Still doing the programming job I was doing, 9 months ago. I can't believe it's been almost 9 months. Holy cow.
Yeah, clean that up to cow.
You knew what I was going to say, didn't you?
You're funny.
Although this is, you know, terrestrial radio, so I can say whatever the heck I want, but I won't.
Wow. So what do you think about this reincarnation stuff?
I don't know. You know, I'm open to hearing about it. I'm not really sure I believe in it, but I'm college educated. I'm willing to hear about other, you know, other things and see what I think. I really don't believe in it much, but I'll give it a try.
Well, you know,
I believe there's something. I'm just not sure if it's reincarnation.
You know, watch for my announcements, because I will reschedule Paul. He's a fabulous guy. I don't know if you caught him the first time he was on, but we had so many calls we couldn't get everybody into the first hour.
Yeah.
So I feel real bad that the phones kind of got messed up on us tonight, but do watch my announcements, because I'll be bringing him back on maybe the second weekend in August, or no, the third weekend in August. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to make an announcement here before I let you go that I've been waiting for the second hour to make. Next week's program, our guest will be Ollie Cantos, who is the, and I'm not sure that I have his title exactly correct. And Ollie, if you're listening, you can feel free to call me up and tell me your title. I told him in my last email, I have a habit of moving people around, putting them in different jobs and sending them to different states. But, I believe that Ollie's title is Special Counsel to the Assistant Attorney General in the Office for Civil Rights.
Yeah, I've heard the name.
Department of Justice.
I've seen a couple of articles he's written in the Braille Monitor, and he's a very good writer. I'm anxious to hear what he has to say next week.
Well, you tune in next week, because he's very open to being on the show, and he
seems like a really good guy, not a partisan guy at all.
Yeah. Right. Well, I told him when I was writing to him while we were waiting for the government to approve his being on the show, we had to go through this, that, and the next thing. And I said, we may come from different political parties and different organizations,
right,
but, I still respect, you know, what you might have to say, and I'd love to introduce you to my audience. And he wrote back and he said, our goals are the same. We want to make lives better for people who are blind. Some of us take different roads.
Right. And I, you know, I'm sure you may know that I consider myself more of the NFB type, but I really respect you, and I respect Ron as well. I've seen his post on ACD, and I agree with a lot of what he says.
Yep. Well, speaking of Ron, he's going to be on next. What a segue. What a segue, Westbrook. You're all right in my book. All right. Well, you take care, sir.
I will. All right.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, he gave me such a great segue. Indeed, he did. And we are going to turn up the volume now on Dr. Ron. Hey, Dr. Ron Milliman, how are you?
Marlena.
Oh, my gosh, it's been
a program.
I feel like I'm flying from the seat of my pants, but there's nothing there.
I'll tell you what, you've done a terrific job. It's been interesting, and you've had some good people calling in. And gosh, you've gone from Harry Potter to Ralph Sanders to all kinds of things, and it's been interesting. Reincarnation, everything.
This is called think on your feet and give it your best shot.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, now you've got some news for us, though.
Well, I do, and this is as you and the listeners know, that I'm chair of the monthly monetary support MMS program.
You're not just the chair; you're the genius behind it.
Well, I appreciate that, but you're being entirely too kind. I'm a part of a committee, and Ed Bradley's been a part of it, and Frank Welty's been a part of it, and of course none of this would happen without the support of the ACB board and the membership, and so it's been a total effort. I've just been kind of spearheading it to some extent. But we launched a campaign back in the fall, trying to encourage people to sign up and join MMS. And we said to everyone that does a new contributor, starting October 1st. And anyone who is an existing contributor that increased their contributions by $5 or more per month would go into a drawing, go into a pot for drawing. And this campaign would run through the end of the 2007 National Convention.
Yes.
And at the end of that, we would draw out a name, and that person would win a new Hamilton Beach iTalk talking microwave. And it's been a very successful campaign. We brought on a lot of new members and numerous contribution increases. During the national convention, in terms of annualized dollars, we brought in a total of $7,580, I believe it is, $7,850. I got my numbers twisted up here.
Wow,
7,
I like
that
second number. Yeah, yeah.
Dollars, and that's annualized dollars to ACB and its affiliates. So it was an extremely successful campaign just during the convention. And I have to commend the Illinois group and Ray Campbell, because they promoted it during their convention and brought on 14 new members during their convention, and that's just tremendous. So now it's drum roll time, and you need a drum roll back there, Marlena.
I do need a drum roll.
And it's time to announce who the winner of the Hamilton Beach iTalk microwave is.
And just as you get ready to announce that, I've just signaled to the board guy.
Okay.
To call the winner.
Okay.
And we'll wait. We'll wait till we get her on the phone. How's
that? That'll be terrific. That's
all right.
Perfect.
All right. Here we go. It's ringing.
Oh, it's ringing.
I'll
one ringy dingy.
Hello?
Hello? Whoa, whoa, hello? Hello?
There she is.
There she is. All right, go ahead and introduce her, Ron.
Linda, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, this is Ron Milliman, and as you know, I called you and kind of prepared you tonight.
Thanks.
But you don't know what we're calling about, do you?
No.
Well, you, Linda Wachner, and I apologize if I don't pronounce your last name right. How do you pronounce it, by the way?
Watkin. It's a German name.
Okay. You, Linda Watkin, are the winner of the Hamilton Beach iTalk microwave.
My gosh! Oh.
That's right.
And, Linda, you're also on the Marlena program on ACB Radio, and this is going around the world.
What? Well, how about that? Well,
so,
I never win anything. This
well, you're the big winner this time, I'll tell you.
Now, tell us, Linda, where are you from?
I live in North Aurora, Illinois.
Ah, so you're one of those Illinois folks.
That's right.
Wow.
And she's one of them that signed up out in Illinois. And so that just goes to show everybody that's listening. Well, what happens? You know, you join and your state affiliate is a winner, the national organization's a winner, and just like Linda, maybe you can be a winner too in our next campaign.
Well, now, Linda, what are you going to do with your new talking microwave? Do you have a microwave now?
Yeah, I do. I'm not sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got two microwaves, and one is my wife, Palma's, and she operates that, and I have the Hamilton Beach iTalk microwave that I operate, and that way we can cook two things at one time.
Yep.
Well, I think I'm going to go over to Linda's house for dinner and get some of the, because I bet she's going to be coming up with all kinds of recipes.
Well, I cook in the microwave a lot.
Well, now, see? You're
it's
the
very handy item.
You're the perfect person. You're not one of these people who thinks the microwave is a coffee warmer, right?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's
it all the time.
That's great. Well, then, Ron, I would say this prize couldn't have gone to a better person.
Sounds good to me. And Linda, we will, I think I've got your correct address, but I'll confirm that with you later. And
okay.
We'll get this shipped out to you this coming week.
Okay. Well,
and,
thank you.
And Linda, if you have a computer, you can listen to the rebroadcast of this program. It's on acbradio.org, and I'm Marlena. And you can just click on the mainstream and listen to a rebroadcast and hear how surprised you sounded.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, congratulations, Miss Winner.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Enjoy many, many good dishes from us.
Well, we want to thank you, though, too, for being a contributor and participating in the MMS program. And it's people like you, Linda, that is making ACB a very strong organization and is really helping out. Your contributions like yours is going to help us bring the Braille Forum back to 12 issues a year and get a lot of other things done that we need to have done.
I think it's a very worthy cause. And you know what really attracted me? I don't have to find somebody to fill out the form.
Yeah. It's nice and easy, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, I might mention, if I may, Marlena, the next phase of our campaign, and Linda, you can maybe help us out with this. The next phase is what we're calling the Reaching Out Partnership Campaign, and that's where we're asking all you people out there, including you, Linda, to tap the shoulders of someone else that's not a member, because now we need to expand this to non-members. So far, we've concentrated on our membership, and that's fine, and we're doing extremely well. But if we turn our attentions now to non-members and bring them into the MMS program, that's a whole world of opportunity for us. And we can make this program really, really successful if we do that. So if each of us goes out and taps the shoulder of another one or two or three people, bring them in, our eye doctors or hairdressers or whomever it might be, our friends, we can really, really make this program big.
That would be wonderful.
All right. Well, good luck, Linda. Congratulations. And, hey, think of me when you make that first dinner, okay?
Okay, I will.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Dr. Ron, I think we surprised her.
I think we did.
Yeah.
Well, we had a lot of fun with this campaign, and I wish I could have given away another 2, 3, 4, 5 or a dozen of them, but we only had one to give away. But you know, that's okay. Next year we'll develop something else. But this new phase, this reaching out partnership phase, I think can be really, really big.
Well, I think it's a great idea, and I will pick up the challenge and see if I can find some folks who would be interested in participating, who aren't members, but who understand the importance of ACB in Gary and my life. So
well, please do, and we're going to be turning our sights onto developing some materials that people can use in promoting that, because you know you just can't walk up to somebody and say we want you to join the MMS program. We have to be able to back it up with some sort of support, or what we call it in the business world, collateral materials.
Sure.
And we're working on that, and I'm going to be looking at the possibility of developing some, oh, for lack of a better term, tutorials on how you go about approaching people and what you say, and we might even turn that into a podcast of some sort so
that
people can listen and get some ideas.
Absolutely. Well, let me know if you need help with that part of it.
I sure will.
All right.
Thank you so much, Marlena. Your support has been tremendous, and I just want everybody to know that you and Gary are very, very strong supporters of the MMS program. And, without your support, we would have nothing.
Well, I appreciate that, and I apologize to you for leaving this out of the first announcement. I don't know where my brain was.
That's okay. Listen, a lot of women have left me out.
Well, yeah, but not all of them are your oldest ACB friends.
Okay, we need to work on that. We got to figure out what phrase we're going to use there because, you know, my oldest ACB friend, I don't know if that's, you know, you're not that old. You're younger than I am yet. So I think maybe my longest ACB friend. Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe that'll work. By the way, do you remember what year was that we met?
1964.
Guiding Eyes in New York.
And actually, you know what? The truth to tell, I have a longer ACB friend.
Oh, my goodness.
So I have to say you're my second.
Oh, second oldest.
Because,
okay.
You know what? We have a call. We'll get to you in just a second, caller. You know what? My Marsha Dresser has been my friend since she was 5.
Oh, for goodness
and
sake.
And I was 6.
Mm. Yeah, well, that is a long time.
It's a long time.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, it's been a pleasure. And
all
thank
right,
you very,
sir.
Very much for your continued support.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. That's Dr. Ron Milliman and talking about the MMS program. And now we have a caller. Let's bring them in. The number to call is 866-666-7926. We're talking about anything you want to talk about tonight. Reincarnation, how to take care that you have a base of assistance should you become ill. People who might not hear from you for a couple of days, be warned to check in, make sure you're okay, the ADA Restoration Act, religion. It's just going all over the board tonight. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Marlena. It's Pam. How
Hi,
are
Pam.
You?
Hi, Pam. I'm fine. How are you?
Great, great. By the way, just off the track for a brief second, I noticed, I don't know if it's the same petition, but I noticed that Daryl did mention the online, Yahoo online petition, and it's getting quite a bit more public.
Yes, yes, yes it is.
Great, I'm so glad. Well, two things. First of all, three things all connected. First of all, a postscript to my friend's, passing, and that, as a matter of fact, was 2 years ago today that she actually left us. And of course, when I saw that, Friday night, especially after coming home after an evening of the celebrating, was like, oh my God, you know, it really kind of choked me up.
Yeah.
But the postscript is that we brought home her cat, and she's been with us now almost 2 years, still going through some adjustment phases, and I do think the poor kitty cat had some issues, not only with Gail passing, but a bad apartment in the building, et cetera, et cetera, or a fire in the apartment building.
Yeah.
But she's getting better. And Ralph, I remember, and some who were listeners to Blindline may remember, that Jonathan had a very in-depth interview with Ralph several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple of years ago, I think he was running. I don't know whether he was running or not, to be honest with you. But he talked about his career with NFB and the changing affiliation. And he said one thing which I thought was pretty big of a person to say. Jonathan asked him if there's anything he'd like to say to everyone. And he said, I'd like to apologize to anybody I'd ever hurt. And I thought that was pretty big.
Yeah, yeah.
That is, I'm pretty sure, that I'm probably still in the archives unless it was lost in the crash. A couple of years ago.
No, I'm pretty sure it's there.
Yeah, but that, I really felt, you know, that took a lot for a guy to say that.
Sure.
Also, you're talking about reincarnation, or possibly the spirit world. My father passed away in 90, and a long, long story, but my answering machine was doing cartwheels while I was watching a 2020 show, and when I finally got the messages, I found out that, first of all, that my brother had been trying to call me. Secondly, a friend called and told me the situation, and I had a friend with me. In fact, it was the guy that I was dating, and now we're all good friends. He's actually out here in Tulare County now with a friend of ours, and I got the phone call, and I started getting ready to go. I've got to go back to Florida. I mean, I'm on the phone making these last-minute airline reservations. This is midnight, and I'm on a plane at 5:30. And all of a sudden, Mike and I both had this very strong feeling, very strong presence of my father. He says, I feel like he's here. All of a sudden, he says to me, your father's keys. I had, the last time I visited my father, I had accidentally left my keys that he had given me to the house while I was visiting. I'd had them in my purse, and I'd forgotten about them. I was going to send them back, and he said, well, use them when you come back. So there these keys were, and I hadn't thought of them in years. And all of a sudden, Mike, and he knew they were there, but I don't know how long it had been since he'd said them. And all of a sudden, he said, or seen them. All of a sudden, he said, your father's keys. I said, God, I wouldn't have thought of those keys, but we really felt as though he was with us. It was the darndest thing.
Yeah. Well, the night that my mother died, I was staying with cousins just outside of Boston. I'd come back from D.C. to Boston. She stayed alive long enough for me to get there, and I did sit with her for a couple of days and saw her, and then she died while I was with her. But the night that she died, I was sleeping in their living room, and I woke up. I think it was about 2 a.m. I woke up and there was someone coming down the stairs. And I sat up and my cousin's name was Janie. And I said, Janie, is that you? And my mother said, no, be quiet. It's me.
Mm.
And I just stopped and she said, it's all right. It's all right, because I was a wreck, and I was still a wreck for about a year afterwards, because my mother was my best friend. I mean, even when I was a wild child, I'd call my mother and I'd say, look, you're not going to approve of this, but I'm not going to lie to you. Here's what I'm going to go do. And,
that's great that you have that kind of relationship.
Yeah, my mother was my best friend. Right. And all she would say is, oh, my gosh, don't tell your father. Oh, my gosh, don't tell your father. But she came down those stairs and she came right over to the sofa bed and I couldn't touch her. It wasn't like anyone I could touch, but I could hear her footsteps and her voice. And she said, it's all right. Go back to sleep now. It's all right.
Funny you should, not funny, haha, but funny, interesting that you should mention that. A friend of ours had the same experience with her grandfather who died in a fire.
Ugh.
He came to her one night as she was sleeping and he said, it's all right, Judy. It's all right, Judy.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So who knows? How can we know?
That's true. I like your comment. Unfortunately, it's too true. If someone came back and said, I'm from back there and I'm going to tell you what it's like,
We'd lock them up.
You know it. Get the car.
That's right.
I will let you go.
All right. Well, I'm glad you called.
All righty.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. We are all over the board tonight, and that's okay. That's how I like it. Talking about this, that, and the next thing. I never dreamed of having a 2-hour open forum show, but here we are. 866-666-7926. Back to the ADA Restoration Act. I so would like to be able to say, yes, let's be at the table and let's open this and let's really dive into this thing and do the best we can do to make it better. But, oh, I am so concerned about doing that. And I'm not a conservative thinker. I mean, if you don't know that about me by now, this must be the first show you've ever heard of mine. It's certainly an issue that bears looking at and evaluating. And And I know we'll be doing just that. All right, we have a caller. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena. Pam prompted me, your conversation with Pam prompted me to call.
Well, I'm glad she did. How are you, Stan the man?
Oh, I'm doing just great. My mom died about the end of 1999, shortly before I moved to Oregon. After she died, when I, it was almost like a dream, but it was like a too real dream. She came to me and she said, Stan, it's your brother, John. He has a liver problem.
Oh.
And I said, what? And then she thought, I have to go now.
Oh.
A few days later, I found out that my brother had a wild youth, and he, so I guess it should be surprising, but he ended up getting hepatitis C.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's affecting his liver.
Oh, my gosh.
And this was not known before then. And at that time, I'd come to Oregon, and I was living with my sister, and I, you know, getting all the affairs settled in California, which is a long story in and of itself. But then this happened, and it was so real, and there's just no way you can explain it. I mean, even though with his lifestyle it shouldn't be surprising, but it still is something that the proximity between hearing this and finding it out officially is just too real.
Well, now let me play the devil's advocate here, which I don't believe, and
right.
I think you know that, but there are those who could say, oh, come on, Stan, you know that your brother was a candidate for this stuff, and you lost your mother. The last thing you want to do now is lose another family member. This was all a dream. You actualized this in a dream.
I don't think you can say that, because, first of all, there are plenty of people that have that kind of lifestyle, and they're not affected at all, that end up taking drugs and doing the terrible mm-hmm. things that they shouldn't do. That are not affected at all.
Yeah.
And so for this to happen, it was just so bizarre.
Now, and did you wake up during this, or was this something that happened and you realized it in the morning that it happened?
You know what? I don't know, because the dream was one of those dreams that was so real it was almost like it wasn't a dream.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like an actual visit.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of like what you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
where you couldn't reach out and touch the person, you couldn't reach out, but you know the voice, you know, and everything was so crystal clear.
And I don't know, when it happened to me, I mean, I could sense that my mother was right there.
Yes, that's the way it was for
me. I mean, just like, you know, with facial vision or echolocation or something like that.
Yeah.
But I couldn't reach out and touch her.
That's right. And I tried to ask for more, you know, ask her to give more detail. She said, well, I have to go. And then everything was over.
Hmm.
And it was just such a strange sort of thing that you can't put your finger on. I'm not going to, you know, I cannot say something, because I think there's a lot of time there's a spirit there that guides you through all sorts of problems. Call the spirit whatever it is, because she is with me, you know, right now, because we were very close, and she is with me right now. She's with me when I ran for the board of Rogue Valley Transportation District. She was there cheering me along. She was there. So it was just sort of one of these extra things.
When I ran for ACB secretary, And this is actually the first time I've said this publicly, but I'm certainly not ashamed of it. It just hasn't been the appropriate moment to say it. But when I ran for ECB secretary, I wore my mother's gold charm bracelet. And I just kept feeling the charms and holding on to the charms and sort of, you know, having a little conversation with her. And I always called her Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, till the day she died, I called her Mummy. And just saying, you know, Mummy, if this is meant to be, then that's great. But if it's not, you know, I hope you're still proud of me. I hope you're still proud that I tried this. And I felt she was very, very close to me during the election.
To show you how resilient she was, my dad had a stroke in 1986, and prior to that, he was always the one that drove. She had a lot of, you know, she was afraid to drive. She hated it. She just didn't want to even think about it. But because necessity dictated it, she did, and she just would not try to get on, like, you know, a dial-a-ride or anything like that. She learned to drive at the age of 60.
Wow.
And she did it. And I look at that. I look at her as a role model, because for me, for her to have that inner strength to do things she would never dream of doing and do it is sort of, I think, a moral lesson to all of us that, you know, think of doing things that we don't think we can.
Yeah, stretch ourselves.
You know, stretch our wings.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I had to, Pam's an instigator. She she made me, you and Pam made me think about that, and I thought, well, I have the courage to share it since you guys did.
Well, I sure am glad that you did, and, you know, this is a family, you know, it's,
That's what's so neat about this kind of radio, meaning ACB radio and all of its different machinations, is that, as someone says, this is the way radio was meant to be.
Yep.
And it is so true, because radio isn't like this anymore.
Well, I'll tell you, I really panicked tonight when the call couldn't go through, and I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to keep people with me for 2 hours? I mean, you know, if you plan for 2 hours, that's one thing. But when you haven't, it's like, oh, my heart was pounding, but you guys have stuck with me and called, and it's just been very...
You know, you've come such a long way in doing the various radio machinations, because radio is not your first venue, so to speak.
No, no.
So for you to do what you've done, and I tell people this, that I am so proud of what you're doing with this, because when it isn't your first love, your first, you know, vehicle, it makes a difference. And some of us are really, you don't know how many friends you have.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. I really feel it tonight, guys. Let me tell you.
And you're blushing. Anyway,
I am.
You have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Oh, that's Stan the Man from Oregon. 866-666-7926. It's a little bit late again for those messages from our sponsors. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM. Information on how you can donate to ACB Radio is available at our webpage, www.acbradio.org. And thank you for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. Yes, indeed. Your listening is our business. Yes, indeed. 866-666-7926. It's 7:37 by my clock. I love that. We're taking off. We're headed toward the final countdown on a 7:37. So that means it's 2:37 UTC. It's 10:37 Eastern. It's, oh, well, you know what I mean. We got a call. Let's bring him on in. Hi there. You're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hello there. This is Tom. This is Secretary.
Oh, my gosh, Tom, you have this robot sound in your line.
Uh-oh.
Woo!
I hear it here. I'm not sure.
Oh, my, Tom. Whoa. Now it went do-do-do-do-do.
Weird.
Oh, it's very weird. What did you do to your phone, Mr. Tom?
I have no idea.
Oh. Well, let's see if we can understand you, Mrs. Secretary My Toe.
I think you deserve the congratulations.
Well,
that was so good.
Well, thank you so much. It was wonderful to see you at convention.
Yes, it was, and a bit of a surprise because we didn't think we were going to make it.
Well, that's what I had heard. I had heard that the T&D crew weren't coming, and I was really disappointed.
Yep. Well, we got there. And
well, now that you're back home, you better fix your phone.
Yeah, I know. We've been having a barrel of problems. The other night we had our Skype go screwy on us.
Wow. Wait till you hear this back on the replay. You're not going to believe how this sounds.
I bet.
This is
another VOIP line, so it might just be something screwy with that.
Yeah, well, I'm getting really frustrated with VOIP.
I bet you are.
Boy, oh boy. Well,
but this is, you get such busy, busy phone lines. You don't know how many times I've actually tried to call you. Sometimes I just figure, well, everybody else has got more important stuff than I do.
Never.
So I don't call.
Never,
but,
never.
You know, then when I do want to call, you're busy.
Never. You should call me anytime you want, and you're the T of WTND.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I misunderstood, but that person earlier, we actually are a terrestrial radio station, so.
Yes, 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 you actually are. You're what, what is it, LPFM?
That's right.
Yeah.
Which came about in the year 2000, thanks to the FCC and Bill Kennard at the FCC, who kind of got brought along with the idea that it would be a good idea.
Well, maybe we'll see it surface again someday.
Well, they're working on it in Congress as we speak.
Well, I certainly hope so. That's something I'd love to do. I'd love to have a community LPFM station.
Well, it's certainly good, and I, you know, have been very thankful just in the last few days. We've had some great community support from some people who like what we're doing here, and they came over and helped us with our yard because we were having trouble with it, because Byron and Dwayne both moved away.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
Dwayne was doing our lawn, so it's really good to have support, that is for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you guys keep up the great work, and you call me again.
And hopefully the phone will sound better.
I hope so. Wait till you hear this back. Woo!
Well, thank you.
All right.
Great job, as usual.
Thank you, and you give my love to Daryl.
Will do.
All right. Take care.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Wow, what a phone line he had. Woo-hoo! That sounds like it came from Altered States or something. I don't know. That was pretty weird. 866-666-7926. We are all certainly, or some of us are certainly having telephone issues tonight, aren't we? All right. Well, we are coming down to the wire here, and would love to take your call. We've got maybe 15 minutes to go. I want to talk a little bit about the ACB convention and I think this was one of our better conventions. Debbie Hazelton touched on this during the first hour of the broadcast, and I'd like to elaborate on it a bit more. I felt that there was a lot of changing and turnover. But we have a call. Let's bring the caller in here. But what I was going to say is I felt that there was a lot of changing and turnover, and you know, it was very heartwarming to listen to MJ Schmidt, for example, accepting the accolades that were bestowed upon her on Tuesday morning, I believe it was. You know, we need to do that with each other more often. We need to say, I appreciate you more often than we do. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Well, I appreciate you, Marlena.
Well, Dr. Bishop, I appreciate you, and I tell you that a lot.
Indeed you do, and I sincerely
do.
Appreciate that.
And I mean it when I say it.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
And I appreciate that. You're right. A lot of people do not say that.
No, they don't. They
very
don't.
Unfortunate.
I know. I try to tell Gary I appreciate him, and you know, people who, I mean, we just don't say that often enough.
We appreciate you, Gary.
We appreciate you, Gary. Yeah. What's up? What are you calling me to share great words of wisdom about this evening?
We are in for yet another night of thunder and a ruckus.
Did you resolve your other issue? I don't know if you want to...
No, the vet... No, I can talk about it. That's
okay.
Fine. No, the vet has told me to increase the Xanax.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to work.
Well, now,
I'm Mr. Pessimist.
I know you are.
This is a guy who now has had, out of 3 days, only one night of those I've actually slept.
I know it.
That's not true, exactly. My son, Brian, stayed up because he was reading the Harry Potter book. And you know, you need to read the Harry Potter book.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to bug you until you do.
No, I know.
You can read them on your stream.
Shh.
Oh, okay.
I can when I
right,
can.
Right, when it gets there.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. I don't even want to talk about it until I can.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, but, no, it's been a pretty good week. We're definitely into our rainy season, and we're getting a lot more active storms than we normally get, especially late at night.
That's a hassle.
Yeah, it's fun.
That is a hassle. So, when does May Menu come back?
Well, we're preparing material now, but the first week is the 14th.
Wow.
Yeah.
The 14th.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, yeah. About a 4 or 5 week.
That's a long time without
period.
You.
Oh, well. I'm enjoying it, actually.
Yeah, you know.
It's a lot of work, putting all that stuff
and
together.
And you know what? I'm totally sure it is. It's a lot of work to put things together for this show. And,
yeah,
and
it's amazing you're going to continue to do your show, considering that you have all these new responsibilities.
Well, you know, something's going to have to give somewhere. And, not... This will be the last to give.
Well, that's good.
You know, maybe the music show will bite the dust before this does. So.
Yeah, well, especially if you're going to be doing a lot of traveling.
Well, yeah, I've been asked to do some other things, and so, yeah, it's just going to be a wild ride.
Wild and crazy.
Wild and crazy. Yeah.
So how much travel will you have to do?
Well, I don't know yet. I'm learning new things every day that I have to do, which is fine with me. I'm delighted to do what's necessary, you know, thus far.
And you have the mid-year
We have the fall board meeting, which we're hoping will be in October. That's what we're shooting for. And then we have the mid-year meeting, which will be in February.
And that's going to be in Kentucky, right?
Yeah, a lot in. Well, probably. I mean, I say yes. It probably is. That's my assumption. So
good. You can go over and see Larry at Blind Cool Ted.
I know.
Pick
Larry
up
and I,
about
we can
Bookport
just
ask him what's going on with that.
Talk about Bookport.
Sure.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Aren't you?
You do a great imitation of Larry. Larry is a good guy.
He is a great guy.
He really is.
Oh,
he's
man,
a great
that's bad.
Guy. He's a great guy. Yeah, oh. I didn't see Bookport 2 at ACB.
No,
either
I'm
I
hearing,
missed it
I'm
or...
hearing 8 months.
Whoa!
That's what somebody said on the Harry Potter party, that they had talked to Pam. One person said that it was November. Another person said it would be at least, you know, first quarter of next year. So.
Hey, tell everybody about your Harry Potter party. I think that was such a cool thing. We listened to part of it.
Yeah, well, what we did was we played all songs related to magic, and then we had callers come in and talk about Harry Potter, and we did a little bit of trivia, and then we talked to we brought in the people from Bookshare, you know, because they had a big party going on over there.
Now, were they scanning it? What were they doing?
They had two people. That were preparing the book, and they finished, I think, about 4:30 in the morning, California time. And I stayed up. I tried my best to stay up as late as I could. I was up till about 3:30.
Oh my gosh!
And I had to go. I couldn't handle it. But Paul Edwards, he was a crazy man. He was still up.
So
he was there all night long.
So they were online in one of the chat
rooms.
They
had a chat room on Accessible World.
Yeah, on Pat Price's site.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had all kinds of stuff. We heard a few chapters of the new Harry Potter book read by Jim Dale.
Wow.
Kelly Saperja played a few chapters from a few minutes from The Fry and Jim Dale. One of the Harry Potter books, so
yep.
We could hear the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
We heard an interview with J.K. Rowling.
Wow.
Done by Stephen Fry.
Wow.
And who's one of the readers of the Harry Potter books. And that was interesting because she actually interviewed him, too.
So I bet that really helped the Bookshare crew stay awake and, you know, keep...
It was great fun. It was... It was a lot of fun, and then we got into some really in-depth, and I think that's what finally did it for me, was this really, really, really in-depth discussion about scanners. And I said to myself, you know, I'm all for techie discussions, but I'm not really sure I'm in for that at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, that's phenomenal. And then we had Debbie call in the first hour, and she said that she woke up in the morning and downloaded the book and was reading it that day between her Braille note and her Kurzweil. So that's
Jim
pretty.
Jim Bruckman was even there.
Wow, how cool is that?
Yeah,
how
it was pretty
cool
amazing.
Is that? That's a great archive to keep your show. That
yeah,
party.
It was a fun
yeah.
that was a fun show. Yeah. I enjoyed that. So.
Yeah, it's too bad we couldn't have just brought broadcast the whole party. You know, that would have been fun.
Yeah. Well, I got off the air at 10, and then I stayed until about five and a half hours.
Wow.
And I finally just said, "Heck with it, I got to go."
Wow.
I can't do it anymore. I'm gonna be dead.
Yeah.
Because that was the night. That was the night Jacinda actually was good.
Oh my
so
gosh!
Actually,
you could have slept, but
I could have. Yeah.
You sacrificed your sleep.
I was.
Yes, for
but
Harry
I must say
Potter.
That I finished Harry Potter yesterday.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. It was probably the best book of all.
Well, now, do you agree with Debbie that I have to read all the books?
Oh, absolutely. Oh. It won't make any. There's too much that goes back. No, you can't do it.
You know
you could, but you'd miss out on so much.
You know, I will say that I started the first Harry Potter book, and I listened to it like a quarter of the way through, and I did like it. I mean, I felt sorry for Harry living under the stairs and those old icky that icky lady that he his aunt or what was she was
yeah.
his aunt oh she I would like to
the Dursleys
yeah he was a
Aunt
wimp
Petunia.
And she was a witch.
Oh well, yeah.
Oh, I didn't
yeah,
like ugh.
Well, if you can make it through the first book. They kind of build on each other, you know. It definitely has information. Book 7 has pieces of all 6
Now, who's the reader, the one that I had, but I don't think I have it anymore, was read by an English person.
Well, they were both English.
Oh.
Jim Dale. Well, I'm not sure Jim Dale actually was born in England. He spent a very many years in England, though, doing acting and theater. Stephen Fry, though, is from England, and that's where the UK versions come from. And then Jim Dale did the American.
I think I had the UK version.
Okay.
Somebody.
I started with Jim Dale, and I tried Stephen Fry, and I just you get used to someone reading,
yeah.
it, and you just can't do it.
So these things are available on like audiobooks and stuff like that.
Audible doesn't have them, unfortunately. They didn't get the rights.
How weird.
Yeah, but yes, they're available either through NLS. Of course, Bookshare has them all.
Yeah, but you know,
web Braille.
I can't listen to a synthesized book. I
know, but you could read it in Braille.
I know I could, but see, I wouldn't read it as long a period of time because of the surgery I've had on my hands. I can only read Braille for about maybe an hour straight, and then I've got to stop. So I don't tend to read long things in Braille.
Okay.
It's better with my Braille note. I will admit to that I can't read hard copy Braille for more than about a half an hour straight through. I mean, you know, I can read hard copy Braille all day as long as I don't have to read straight through. I can change the position of my hands, but.
Right.
So I'll have to go on a search. Are the ones in NLS, are they read by the original readers?
No.
Oh, boo.
Yeah.
Oh, boo.
But
there are ways.
We'll make arrangements.
We have our ways
to
find what we want. Yes.
Well. Yeah. You have many friends in high places.
I do. Wow.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, all right. I tell you what, if I can find them, I will.
Well, we can guarantee that you can find them.
I will give it a shot.
Now, book four is tough because it's very dark. Book seven is by far the darkest, but book four is very, very dark. It's the darkest of the series to that point. Five and six weren't so dark, but that actually I was very concerned about children reading.
Well,
it was
I was going to ask you that question. I understand. I've heard along the road that there are some folks of the Christian tradition who absolutely will not allow their children to read this because they feel that it is very anti-Christian.
Satanic and things.
Yeah.
Well, that's very interesting because there are books about this that state that opinion, and there are books about it that state why Christian, you know, people should read Harry Potter. So I don't know. I mean, you know, if you don't have a firm grasp on reality, you really shouldn't be reading any fantasy type books.
Yeah.
And whether they're about witches and witchcraft or magic or whatever, if you can't really think about this just being a story, then you really shouldn't be reading any books, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I read a lot of, you know, detective mystery type things.
Right.
And, you know, the same is true there. You know, if you don't have a good grasp, I mean, I could scare myself to death. You know,
well,
some of the stuff I read is like, oh.
Well, this goes back to the whole, you know, Dungeons and Dragons thing where, you know, there used to be people on the news where they would just take the whole D&D thing too far and people would die.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, it's like anything else. You know, as long as you are pretty well-rounded, you know, and you can kind of separate what's fun versus real, you know, then you're fine. I think you can handle it.
Yeah. Well, don't forget to listen in next week. I have Ollie Cantos on next week.
Who?
Ollie Cantos, who is the, of course, I'm going to get his title all wrong, the assistant counsel to, no, general counsel, special counsel to the assistant attorney general, for the.
Is that blind
yeah,
judge?
Yeah. No, no, he's not a judge. For the Department of Civil Rights and the Office of Civil Rights and the Department of Justice. He's the, blind guy who's the presidential appointee. And,
wow.
He's gonna come. We had to get approval from the public relations folks, and Ollie and I have been writing back and forth through the week. And
what are you gonna talk to him about?
Well, how did he make it all happen, you know?
You gonna have him on the full 2 hours?
I've told him that he can choose to stay for an hour or longer, depending on how the calls go.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You're gonna get swamped.
I hope so.
Wow,
I hope so.
Great. Okay, well, I'll tune into that.
All right, well, tune in, and I better go.
See you later.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye. All right, that just about wraps it up for us this week. And, wow, what a show we had. I want to thank, I do thank Gary the Board Guy, Dave and Visalia, for trying so hard to get our call through. And I apologize very humbly to Paul Nugent, and we will work this out again for another time. Next week, you just heard me telling Jeff Bishop that our guest will be Ollie Cantos, special counsel to the Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Civil Rights in the Department of Justice, the U.S. Department of Justice. Looking forward to that. Hey, you can reach me through the week if you'd like. Marlena, MARLAINA, at acbradio.org. I am sure looking forward to hearing from you. And thanks so much for sticking with us tonight. I really appreciate you. Have a great week, and we'll be back next week with another Marlena program right here at the Mainstream on ACB Radio.